Hi there, I'm Richard. I'm the senior pastor of Every Nation Auckland City. We are a multicultural, multi-generational, socially responsible church that makes disciples. We hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
I'm blessed to be here with me, one of our pastors in Sydney, who happens to be my wife. And that's, over there. So, I tell you, it's a blessing to be part of a global family. I would love us all to rise up. And then we're going to, is it okay? We're going to read the scripture. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 7, 23 to 28. Let's start.
Verse 23, the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he's able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Because this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son, with a capital S, made perfect forever. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge your presence here. These words are very powerful, but it will only take the Holy Spirit to expound it into our hearts. I pray, Lord, that at the end of this, you will take it to the heights we've never even imagined, to the glory of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Just like Pastor Richard said, you may be seated, thank you. Just like Pastor Richard said, we are in a global series, and today I'm joining you guys on this journey. At the same thing you are doing in this place in terms of the Set Apart series is also what we're doing in most of our Every Nation churches. So it's a blessing to be part of that. And what we're actually looking at is a biblical view of holiness. And I know that you have been journeying through that. Now, our aim at the end of this series is to be able to be impacted in such a way that the way we glorify God shifts, and whatever we have learned also transforms our heart. You know, because it's something to hear and not to be changed. So we are hoping that the way we relate to God, the way we relate in relationship, just the whole, you know, life that we live will be a transformed one. And not only that, we also believe that it's also going to relate to how we do mission. You know, our connect groups, you don't have to go on a long distance mission, even your neighborhood and everything. It changes the way we look at the creation of God, and it changes the way we actually outreach to them. So that's my prayer, that this series will be a series that will impact us in those different areas. You know, the series really is not about what we have left behind. It's about who we are lying to. You know, in the scripture in 1 Peter, it says, be holy, for I am holy. Is that not so? So it's who we are lying to. It's not what we are leaving behind, is but where we're going. And I'm praying that each and every one of us, we go in the direction that God wants us to go, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, you have been having a fantastic time so far. You looked at the topic of God is holy. I want to tell you one thing. That very topic and that very preaching transformed a lot of things in my life, in the life of my wife. Because all of a sudden, when you begin to realize the God you are serving is set apart, is on a class of his own, is greater than any other God, is holy, all of a sudden, it shifts the way you actually approach him. And I'm praying that that's happened to you. The way you're approaching God now is changed completely. You know, because of the fact that you know now, you know, it's not that you don't know that before, but something shifts again when, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, when you hear again. So, I'm sure you had a fantastic time during that one. The second one was holiness lost. How that happened in the garden, and I think after that, we had holiness revealed. That is the way. Everybody said there is only. Only, not holy. Everybody said there is only one way to God. No two ways. I believe you learned that when, you know, Pastor William did a powerful preaching on that. So today, our task is to talk about holiness restored. Ooh. Isn't that a blessing? Now, how many of you here, you've actually lost something that is so precious to you? Because Jesus displayed perfect holiness as a man and bore our sins that we could share his holiness. But how many of you here today, you have actually lost something? You know, something was broken in your life, or something was lost. How many of you are here today? How did you feel about that? How did you feel about that? Not good. Sad. Now, if you had tried to restore the situation, how many of you will say that you got the whole thing back the way you had it before? Or it's not actually the way you had it. It's probably a brand new situation. But here today, we're going to talk about a man that came to bring restoration in a perfect and permanent. Everybody say perfect and permanent. That's it. No addition, no subtraction. You know, a gentleman 2 weeks ago actually gave me a sermon illustration on this stage. It was the guy that came here. How many of you remember this picture? And broke a glass. You remember it? And, you know, I said, wow, how did you know I was coming to preach about this? Now, do you also will agree with me that no matter how much effort we put into reconstructing this glass back, it will never be the same. It will never be the same. And at times, that's what we experience in some broken situation. It could be a broken marriage. It could be a broken relationship, which is not my, even a broken relationship in the church amongst people. At times, we even start the restoration process, but we say, oh, it's not the same. We don't feel, you know, the same. But thank God, we don't have to feel like that forever. We have someone that can make that relationship perfect and permanent. And that is exactly what we're talking about today. Doesn't matter what is broken in our lives. It doesn't matter how disappointment is, because I know we are human beings. Isn't that so? We have broken relationships. We have broken hopes. We have, you know, even so many things that we cannot share with people. And it's like, probably, am I really going to get this back? But I want to assure you, even though you might try in your own strength and ability, but all of a sudden, today, you are realizing that, no, it shouldn't be so. Because there's somebody that comes to bring it back in a perfect and a permanent way. And that's my prayer today, that we're going to experience that. In fact, if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, it says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It's almost like you're broken. It's almost like you are lost. It's almost like you are with no hope. Yes. But that would have been a sad story if it ended that way. But it says here, everybody say, but now in Christ Jesus, yes, you who were formerly were far off have now been what? Brought near by the blood of Christ. I noticed in that glass that was broken, there was a sprinkling of blood. And I thought, what is the guy trying to tell me? Yeah, we're broken, but he's brought us back. Our relationships are broken, but he has brought us back. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creature, the old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That's the message of restoration. That it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you have lost, what has been broken. It doesn't matter how far it's been. There is a message of restoration. Not a kind of restoration that I would do to that mirror or I would do to my furniture, because at times those restorations are not permanent. They are not, you know, they are not perfect. But a restoration that is perfect, that was a perfect and permanent. Woo! Aren't you excited about that? It's not, I mean, it's perfect. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. And it is permanent. You know, we just read in Hebrews chapter 7, and it's actually the whole of Hebrew was a letter written to the Jewish Christians of the first century. Lots of persecution. Lots of them trying to run away from the faith, or run away from the country, or run away from their church, or whatever they're running away from. They were feeling the pain of persecution. And the writer felt that maybe the best way to bring them back, to realize that, yeah, this persecution is there, but there's somebody that has brought total restoration that we can put our focus back on. And he wrote these letters to encourage them and challenge them to come back. And the way he did it, in this very scripture, because we just jumped into it in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23, but the way he did it was he started to paint a picture to the Jewish people, because they can understand that. You know, they've read all the Torahs and they know all the Old Testament issues of how the relationship was broken with God, but then a restoration was promised. Isn't that so? And finally, he said, now here it is. Can you see how you came from A now to this point, to B? And the way he was painting it was to show them. I mean, you here last time learned about when Adam and Eve lost, you know, their place in the garden. God made a covering for them, you know, by sacrificing an animal and cover them up. Isn't that so? And if you look throughout the Old Testament, and even from the way God has been dealing with the children of Israel, telling them about the restoration for now and the restoration to come, it was through sacrifice of an animal. The priest was involved. Animals were involved. Animals were sacrificed from year to year in order for them to feel the presence of God, the forgiveness of God, the restoration of God, the holiness of God. And this writer of Hebrews was telling them, do you remember that situation? And did you know in those whole process, it wasn't getting us anywhere? But now, there is a better promise. You see, how we experience that is the same thing you're experiencing now on this persecution, on this, you know, accusation, everything that is going around you, even in your church, in your family, whatever it is. The way it's going now, you know, is the way they were experiencing that. They tried year in, year out. There was no solution. Until God brought a perfect, I was a perfect and permanent. Woo! I feel like preaching now. A perfect and permanent sacrifice. And he tried to encourage them to stick on, to stay on, never to give up. And this is where we jumped into that scripture that we read today. It says, I know it's tiring. It's very difficult. I come this year. I make my presentation. Next year again, I come. It's the same thing. I'm tired. I'm persecuted. I did everything that you do. But they keep persecuting me. They keep lying against me. They keep pointing fingers against me. I can't do it anymore. And the Hebrew writer did not shy away from that. He says, I recognize that. And this is the way I recognize it. The first thing he says to them is that the problem is with the priest. The priest cannot bring a perfect and permanent solution. In fact, they can't. Even themselves, they have to make sacrifice for themselves. They have to cleanse themselves. They have to, even some of them, have to be tied with, you know, a string before they go into the holies of holies. We're not sure if this guy is going to make it out. And at times, some of them, they drag them out dead. And it goes, it's a circle. It never ends. I mean, have you ever been in that? You know, the pastor has encouraged you, everybody's encouraged you. Say, well, I did all of that. It's a circle. Can't you see what they did to me? Can't you see what they said? Can't you look at the Facebook post and look at what they said? I mean, Lord, that was exactly the problem. Because priests die and priests are sinners. They can never offer a perfect solution. And we read it in the scripture. It says in 7:23 and 7:27, you can read that. I'm not going to go into that. It says that's the problem. You see, they begin to understand that because they knew about what he's talking about. They understood. that it happened. And he says also, the problem is with the lambs. Not that anything is wrong with the lambs, but that's the problem. I mean, I was asking Pastor Richard, I said, how many sheep do you have in New Zealand? I said, about 50 million. How many people? About 5 million. If we bring those sheep per person, 10, I'm sure in a year, some of you will have about 20 reasons to go and sacrifice the lamb. Because we aren't perfect. And if we had to be doing that, I mean, I wouldn't enjoy the hospitality of Pastor Chrissy. I mean, all the lambs and everything we ate and all the meat, you know, they will all be gone. And even out, you know, we go to eat outside, we enjoyed it. You can imagine that in this country alone, where we're bringing all our lambs to sacrifice for our sins, imperfect people. He says, we cannot sustain that. How many of you go through things in your life that you're trying to do to make it up with God and to make it up, you know, with people? And you just, I can't sustain this. It's just too much. It's taking my energy. It's taking my time. It's taking my emotion. It's taking a toll on my life. That's actually, at times, you find that in marriages that are at the brink of breakdown. They say, I've given it all. It's just taking a toll on my life. I can't go further. This lamb slaughtering was taking a toll. And there was no way they could sustain it. So the writer of Hebrews says, can you see that? You can relate to that because it's happened. You know, it's our history. Then he goes further to say, we can't stop at the problem. See, there is a promise. Everybody say, there is a promise. Say, there is a promise. And that's Jesus. So we move from the problems now. And the writer of Hebrews says, there is a promise. And did we get that promise? It was promise. You know, we all know that. If you have journeyed on this series, you know, God promised, you know, to send the Savior to save. And he said, can you picture that? These first century Hebrew people, can you see that? That even in the midst of the problem, there is a promise. Maybe some of them will say, well, that's a promise, but I'll get to that in a moment. He said, there is a promise, a better covenant, and a better priest, and a better lamb. The promise of Jesus. Everybody say the promise of Jesus. He says that's a better one. There's a promise. It's a better sacrifice because it's once and for all. Don't need to sacrifice anything. You don't need to work it out yourself. You just need to bring it to Jesus and let him know, I've tried everything. I've done everything. I've loved everybody. I've tried to do good. But it's not working. Jesus, help me. Because it's a better priest. It's forever. He shed his blood once and for all. It was with no sin. It was the perfect sacrifice. Why would you have a perfect sacrifice for sin and all the vices in the world and you keep running after what will not satisfy, what will not make perfect or permanent? Why would we? You know, that's really at times what people do. They're chasing after the shadow. But he says, no, you don't have to do that. And probably you are sitting down there and you're saying, oh yeah, that promise, I know that. And the writer knew they were thinking about that. He says, not only is there a better promise that we now have, But it says that promise, everybody say that promise is for you. Point to your neighbor, say that promise is for you. Point to your neighbor, say it's for you. And then let's say it together, it's for us. I'm skipping some of the scriptures. You can read that later on. It says that promise is not just a promise, but it's a promise for us. You see why perfect and permanent restoration is possible. You see why you can believe in that. That irrespective of what we're going through, you know there's a promise in Christ Jesus, and that promise is not just an ordinary promise, it's a promise for us. You make it personal. God is calling us into that personal relationship because this holiness is about our identity in Him. This holiness is about us aligning. It's not about trying to be who we are. That's who we are. He said, that's who you are, is for you. The promise of restoration is for you. Restoration in your personal life, in your relational life, in your family life, whatsoever it is for you. So don't run away from it. Embrace it because it's made tailored for you. I believe there are people here this morning. You have been in difficult situations of brokenness. You have been in difficult situations not only of your own personal brokenness, relational brokenness, family brokenness. You've done everything. You put up a good spread. You sent good cards to them. You smile to them. You've done everything within your strength, and which they're good to do. We should do them. And it's like, nothing is happening. Even you yourself, your personal life, you're struggling with some things. You've done the ABCD that's been recommended to you. And you've done all of that. I had somebody say, I've done all of that, but I still go back to that. And it's like, I don't think there's restoration. You know what? One way is to give up. Just like those first Jewish century people, they were going to run away. They were going to just throw up their hand and say, no way, we aren't doing this anymore. Maybe that's you've been in that, you're there right now. That feeling of brokenness, of loneliness. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Lost my family, lost many friends. Some of you have lost friends who are not, they're not talking to you anymore. They don't want to see you. It's like, you know, what did I do to deserve this? And all of that. You've done everything. Put up a good spread, put up a good, you know, word, give them, send them cards, or just do everything. Even some people block you completely. Because we're living in a broken world. You understand what I'm saying? And you're at this point and say, Lord, but here we find the promise of Jesus. Not only the salvation of our soul, the everything that relates to us. Salvation of our whole life, of our relationship, of our habits, of our challenges. Everything is comfort. Don't need to be in despair or anguish. Don't leave it alone. It came for it. Don't look for an escape strategy. Like those people are looking for an escape strategy. Don't. It came. And not only did it come for you, it came for you. Can we just rise up this morning? Just rise up. If we can have the keyboard just play along, that's fine. Just rise up. I don't know where you are right now, but I know one thing God is doing in our Every Nation movement to set us at the beginning of the year like this is to lay a foundation for us because he knows exactly where he is taking us. And he knows where he's taking us would require a shift in our mindset. A shift in everything that we do. That's why we begin the year with prayer and fasting, like you're going to start on Monday or anytime you start this week. That's why we do that. That's why we're not just rushing into things. Aligning ourselves with God, yes. Getting a proper grounding of understanding, shift everything. Even your worship, even the way you read the Bible, even the way you come to church changes all of a sudden. You know, you are not just coming to a building, you are coming before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The way you commit to Connect Group changes. Because when David plays the Ark of the Covenant, all of a sudden, things changes. They began to see in Psalm 96, you read it? They began to see the might, the power, the glory, and everything of God, and their worship changes. Just like the elders in Revelation chapter 4, it says they look at God on his throne, and all they could say is, "Holy, holy Lord God Almighty." That's what this is all about. That's why we're doing this, laying that solid foundation. That everything about you changes. The way you approach God. Your prayer life changes. Your worship life changes. Your devotional life changes. Your attendance in church changes. You are coming here full of joy. You already brought the fire in here. Everything just shifts. I pray that's going to be the same for you. The way you look at your spouse, the way you look at your church members, all the blames and everything, all of a sudden it changes. Even the way you look at yourself, poor me, I'm a Nigerian in Australia, poor Lord. Oh, I'm a woman, I can't, oh Lord. I'm 80 years old, I can't, oh Lord. I can't. What are you talking? What can't you? Because all of a sudden, you see God in you. You understand if it's a great God that you're serving, nothing is impossible for you. It just changes. It rubs on you. You understand that. That's the purpose of this whole series, to set you apart for a greater task that God has for you. And people will see, they will know. Maybe you're here this morning as you close your eyes and pray. There are things you're trusting God for a restoration. I just feel it very strongly in my heart. There are people struggling in that area of brokenness or the area of separation and loneliness and whatsoever it is. Just like we showed that glass broken. And you're crying out for restoration. I want to join our prayers with you. If you're that person, can you just put up your hands where you are? Say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. You know it. There's a struggle there. Thank you. I see many hands are up there. Thank you. There's a struggle there. I know at the beginning of this service, Pastor Richard came out and talked about praying for those kind of people. But you feel, you really feel you need the altar ministry for us to stand with you, lay hands on you, just believe for what God is. It can be a broken relationship with God. Maybe you just know that God you knew 10 years ago is not just this. It's not the same God you know now. It's changed. It can be a broken relationship with the people around you. If you can just quietly just come forward here. I'm sure we have altar ministers. We want to pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Take that step. You've put up your hand. I want you all to come forward here. If you put up your hands, please just come forward. If you put up your hand, God is doing a work here, right here. It's a work of restoration. It's mending the broken hearts. It's mending the broken lives. What seems to be impossible, God is telling you, it is possible. You don't have to feel ashamed. You don't have to feel something is wrong with you because you know now who you are. Anybody on this side? I saw some hands up here. You can just come forward. If you put up your hands, just come forward. And we'll have the ministers to come around. We're going to love on you. You have received the message. You understand who you are. We're just going to put our hands on you. Just seal and just trust God. Lord, we take up this burden because we can feel your heart in this place. We don't just pray this lightly. We pray it because of how we feel your longing and your heart over this congregation and all that they have been through, but they have stood firm in you. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that you will over this whole congregation. First and foremost, to bring affirmation to them. Everywhere the enemy has tried to muddle up their identity, Lord, I break it right now. He said, for therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So right in this moment, every lie that they have listened to, every voice that they have listened to, that has tried to diminish you in their life or what you're doing, right in this moment, we break it in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare over this assembly, we declare your Holy Spirit to put a mark upon every man and every woman because they belong to you, they are aligned with you, they are called by you, they know what you spoke into their hearts. I pray for that even right now in the mighty name of Jesus. So we break every lie, every voice of the serpent. We break every voice of the snake. We break every lying tongues, every deceptive tongues. Right now, we break it over this assembly in the mighty name of Jesus. We release the perfect affirmation of God over your life. Who you are, who you are called to be, who He has marked you to be, never changes. Right now, over your life, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray for a rising up. A rising up. The psalmist says, you took me out of the miry clay and you set my feet upon a solid ground. I declare a rising up for them. Right in this moment, I see a rising up happening. I see a rising up happening. That spirit is upon you right now, rising up happening. Because right now, you can do all things for Christ that strengthens you. God is placing you upon a solid ground. Those shifting sound, those murky situation that is before you, God is taking you out of it right now and placing you on a solid ground. And when He places you on a solid ground, you know that you know that you know. Very powerful. You know that you know that you know. So right now, I pray your protection over them, your covering over them. I pray that the sacrifice you have paid for them will not be in vain. They will walk in it, they will recognize it, and they will continue to uphold. You know, even right now, I pray for people who are struggling with relationship that has been broken. At times, that could lead to an orphan spirit of, I've lost something. I declare it right now over you. But I break that orphan spirit. I break that spirit of loneliness. I declare that you are not an orphan. You are the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who you are in Jesus' mighty name. So rise up, Son of God. Rise up, Daughter of God, and begin to walk in your authority that has been given to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. To know more about Every Nation Auckland City, you can visit our website at www.everynationauckland.city. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.